This is Believe in Buckeyes with your hosts, Brian Brondy and Chimdi Chekwa. How you doing, man? It's a nice weekend. Good, man. Spring is here. Like, spring is, like, really here in Ohio, I think.
Is it really here, man? I feel like it's cold right now, man. It's okay. I mean, if you go to Montana right now, I think they're getting like two feet of snow still.
It could be worse. We gotta take what we got.
let's give a shout out to our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and more. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, UFC, boxing, pretty much everything, right? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including the live betting options in your favorite casino and card games. You can play right from your home on BetOnline. So BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Check it out.
Yep, and if you got any issues, concerns with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER if you have any problems, you need someone to talk to. They're there 24/7. In the promo, they brought up basketball, man. I know you're a Lakers guy, you're a LeBron guy. Yep. I'm not going to say champion. They're going to get by Memphis?
Yeah, but they're going to beat Memphis, man. Listen.
Don't dive into it, man. Just... Yes. My Cavs is down, man. 2-1 to the Knicks.
It's going
to
be a seven-game. It'll be a seven-game series. It's going to go 1-1, 1-1, 1-1 until you get to that last game. And that last game will be in Cleveland, right?
I don't know, man.
They're still right where they need to be, man.
Man, the Cavs scored 79 points yesterday, and I'm like, bro, is this Cleveland State? Like, that's unheard of in today's NBA, man. But man, let's get into this, man. So we wanted to have a show. We wanted to wrap up spring ball. So we had the spring game this past weekend here. Great showing. I think we had the largest crowd in the Big Ten.
Did you go to the spring game?
I went to the spring game. I sat in a different spot. I never sat on the opposite. So, you know, usually you sit behind the team's bench. Yeah. I sat on the opposite side of the field. And, you know, it was a pretty good experience, man. Mm-hmm. My neighbor sat with my neighbor and his kids, a couple of his kids. And I brought my daughter. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
Good. It's good. I didn't make it. My family went, you know. Dropped them off. I didn't make it into the stadium myself.
Yeah, but you got that walk, man. I mean, we get it. I mean, you timed things wrong. I believe you had a previous engagement. You timed things wrong, and you can't park the way you want to park with young kids. It gets tricky fast. So I understand that, man. But we still want to kind of unwrap some things, man. Obviously, with spring being over and us having a chance to kind of take a look at things, you know, we just kind of want to cap it, you know, put a cap on it, kind of discuss what we like, maybe what we had to still work on in the fall going into this actual season. But first off, I want to, I guess, really just give a shout out to the defense. I feel like the defense really put on a performance. They obviously won the spring game, which is rightfully so. Usually with, you know, the score don't really matter. It's not the biggest deal, right? Like little stuff could just happen and you win the scrimmage. But the defense really kind of went out there and put out a stellar performance. They showed great depth with the defensive backs. They was able to get interior pressure from essentially a couple guys, but essentially one big one, Mike Hall Jr., we've been talking about him all spring. They was able to match up in coverage against our wide receivers and our offense. You just got the feeling that guy was in the right spot. You know, they was doing the right things. And also, I mean, overall, they really just looked like they belong. I mean, over the last couple of years, our offense usually – with our quarterback and whoever we had back there kind of usually kind of have their way. But essentially, they was very competitive. They really stood up. They looked like they belonged on the field against a Ryan Day's offense. And I really think it was impressive. And I felt really good about their performance after coming out of Saturday.
Very reminiscent of the old days, man, where the defense dominated, you know, good-on-good matchups, you know, Buckeye versus Buckeye matchups. But, no, I think the defense this spring has taken a good step a good progressive and relatively expected step forward. No Knowles coming into last year, and I know we all had hopes that he was going to come in and create the best defense in the nation. They were top 10 in pretty much the entire season, and outside of probably two games where they gave up so many explosive plays, it kind of messed up their overall statistics. But I think they took the step that they needed to take. I think for what, if you go all the way from who they brought in from the transfer portal, brought in two defensive backs, to continue to compete with those other guys and push those other guys and really help out, you know, the group coming back this year. And then, you know, seeing all of those defensive backs be another year older, have a little bit more experience, have a better understanding of how to, what they're trying to do defensively all through practice, makes me feel confident. I feel good about them. I know they got the talent. I know I can see that they better understand, you know, what they should be doing, what they're trying to do. Seeing the defensive line get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Now, I have a few feelings about that, right? Because you're going against Buckeyes. It's like, is it the offensive line or is it really the defensive line being that great? But there's something to be said there. I think there's some talent there. But there is, at the same time, there is, you know, a little bit of a feeling that even though the defensive line had a good spring overall, that we may not necessarily be as formidable.
We feel like we have really high end guys. You look at JT coming back, and yeah. I mean, essentially the Penn State game alone, right? All the numbers and the performance he put up there. So you know what you got there, real high end player. We look at Mike Hall Jr. and the success he's been having in spring, last season, early on before he started to deal with injuries. You know, really high end there. But then as a net, you know, you start to have to find some guys, right? You got Jack Sawyer, who's going into his third year. He was a 4- or 5-star recruit. And last year, I'm not going to say they had him out of position, but he was kind of like that Jack role. So he wasn't really that defensive end spot.
Yeah.
Now he's down in the defensive line. So, you know, we don't know what we got. To be, you know, frank, we know he was a really high recruit. He played okay. Like, he wasn't out there doing terribly anything. But now we need him to kind of go down in the trenches and win 1-on-1 against off the tackles. We don't know what we got there. Interior wise, like I say, once you start removed from Mike, it's a lot of questions. Like, you don't really, you know these guys, the younger guys, and. Going into the season, like I say, high end JT Mike, yeah. And then other than that, just kind of get the question marks. Obviously, we have a great group of linebackers to back them up. We feel like we have this great depth in the defensive back that we should be able to kind of pick and place the best guys in the best situation to be successful. But there's a little question mark. If you just say like, okay, so what is concerning about our defense? Yeah. Probably the depth of the number of guys we have. That we know could play. We seen KJ, Keontae Jackson playing a ton and it's in the game, also getting a ton of reps and spring practice as well when was able to attend. So obviously they're kind of grooming him to be a guy. I think they put him in there so much because, you know, I feel like he really has the ability to be an every down defensive end. He should be with his length and size, should be able to play the run. With his lift and size and explosiveness, he should be able to rush the passer. But once again, we don't know what we have because, you know, at this point in time, so young, we haven't seen it.
When you look at the spring for what the spring is, it seems like, you know, they've done what they could do. Like they've put out what you would want to see from them to be on pace to be able to be effective in the fall. And I think also Jim Knowles better understanding who the guys are. You know, he mentioned not putting Jack Sawyer at that Jack position, right? And trying to let him, you know, be more of a traditional defensive end and rush the pass. I think that's important. I think understanding your players are going to be important to make sure every guy is in the right position to be effective. So I think they're taking a progressive step. I think, you know, pass rush, I mean, I don't think we got the pass rush that we would have expected last year. You know, yeah, there were some games, but overall, the consistent, you know, third down guys pinning their ears back and getting after the quarterback. I'm not sure we got that, you know, that level of pass rush that we're accustomed to at Ohio State. And obviously, pass and coverage work together. So, if you don't get the pass rush, you put a lot of
it goes hand in hand. Hand in hand. Yeah, but also, I guess some concerns that I had, you know, after this spring is our interior offensive line. Obviously, the Mike Hall Jr. is a great player. I'm sure we saw from him will translate to Saturdays once the season starts. But it's just kind of getting concerning, you know, just kind of missing guys. It seemed like sometimes we wasn't all going in the same direction, and obviously that could get you beat really fast when it comes to run, pass situations on the interior side. So I feel like there's some work there. I know they're working guys in that center and just kind of, you know, trying to figure it out. But I feel like, you know, obviously they will figure out. But just right now, still a tad bit concerning, like kind of seeing some of the guys running. I'm not going to say scot-free, unchecked, but sometimes it feel like almost like, you know, really light resistance to get into the backfield. So if I was listing
my concern areas, or, you know, if I just had like this assessment of what looks good going down to where are the concerns at, I think offensive line would be at the top of the list for me. And quarterback. Honestly, yeah. I think those would be the two primary ones.
Yeah, and I mean, rightfully so. As we know, we're looking at two new offensive tackles coming into the season, also a new center. Just losing some really good guys going on to the NFL. And we have some competition at the right tackle position. We kind of spoke about that before with the Tigra and Zen kind of playing that right role, right tackle role, and alternating snaps with the ones. As in, also in center as well, you're getting some kind of a little bit of competition there. Not as much, but a tad bit. But it's new. Those guys are new. They're going to have to figure out how to step up, gel, and kind of pick the best guys in position. But then we start talking about the quarterbacks, right? If you guys did not hear the news, right, about 4 or 5 days before the spring game, it was announced that Devin Brown, who's competing for that number one spot, wouldn't be able to compete in the spring game due to an injury, I believe, to a finger that required a procedure. So they said, basically, get the procedure, get ready for the summer so you could be ready to go in the summer so you could get back to full activities and, you know, ready to compete in the fall camp for that number one role. But Kyle McCord did play in the spring, and obviously he's the older of the two. He's the one that has the relationship with Marvin Harris Jr. Sir Marvin Harrison. What I'm saying, I'm
Marvin Harrison. Up here.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
There you go.
Went to the same high school, so they won a lot of games together, a lot of state championships together. And his performance in the spring game, I know, kind of afterwards, people, I feel like it was kind of like a wave of two different things. People was not as impressed. I think I was on that boat, and then you see some people kind of trying to give him some support, which I understand, but watching the game, like I said, being in the stadium and watching the game, really when it was ones versus ones, offense versus defense, be honest, we really didn't get too much done. For the offense to be really productive, they had to either quick snap the defense, basically kind of run up to the line. Yeah. You could obviously tell the defense is not really set. It's practice, right? So you kind of are just not, you know, going about your own pace about getting plays in. Kind of quick snap them, or they kind of did some unconditional things. 4 for 6, just kind of go for it and try to catch the defense once again by surprise and out of position. So it looked like, so if you're not really paying attention, like at the end of the day, it's like, oh yeah, we hit on some things, but really watching it, I feel as if McCord really didn't do too much against our ones. He hit a couple deep crossing routes to Marvin Harrison Jr. I guess that's what you want to see, that connection still being there. Yeah. He did hit on a touchdown pass to Carnell Tate laid on like a fade route, which I think over the spring we say our quarterbacks do pretty good fade routes when they get that chance. Yeah. But really just kind of lining up and executing play per play. It's still some work to be done there. To be frank.
Yeah, I think, you know, there hasn't been throughout the whole spring, I don't think I've noticed anything like special. Like nothing has jumped out. So yeah, to me, you know, watching Kyle McCord, he's come in certain certain opportunities he's gotten when the team, the game was out of hand or whatever. But and I've watched him, you know, through a couple springs and you know, all these different small sample size, small opportunities. But honestly, I just haven't seen, and I don't have to, like, this isn't a requirement for him to be successful. But I haven't, me personally, I just haven't seen anything that shows a special talent at the position. Now, he could be, right? He has also hasn't been, you know, on a stage really to be able to show it. But if you look back, you saw guys like Dwayne Haskins come in and
in the
Michigan game, you're like, dang, who's this guy? Like,
right.
He might be able to play now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you saw it. You saw flashes from even Joe Burrow, just from practices here and there. You know, Justin Fields, when he was at Georgia, he came into the game. You're like, oh, man, like, we can get a player like that. So, you know, I just haven't seen it from McCord, and hoping that we do. But, yeah. You know, the reality is, you know, we've been relatively spoiled at the quarterback position, and it's not necessarily feeling like it's just going to be that hit the ground running type of situation that we've experienced before, which is also fine, right? Like, it's okay if you have the linemen up the front, the run game to support you, you have the defense to support you. Like, you can go win the playoff game, you can go win the national championship, and a quarterback could get better as the year goes on, as he gets more and more experience. I just hope that, you know, we can identify what the strengths are and play to those strengths. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, like I said, I think we spoke about before, we got 4 or 5 really, and not good. Like, we know they're good. Like, we've seen them be good on Saturdays. Like, we've seen their production. So, obviously, once you get to the season, that would be a discussion. I don't know, what are we doing as an offense, how we're trying to come up with points. Is it, you know, the run and gun show that we have seen in the past, or are we really going to play behind, play in the trenches and play behind some guys, our big guys up front, and see how it goes? But like I say, we'll have to figure that out at that time. But we did want to kind of talk about a couple of players, especially on that defense. Like I said, the defense overall had a really good performance. Felt like they had a really solid spring, definitely improving across the board. But we had a couple of, I guess, topics here. When I say topics, I mean players here that we want to discuss. Because really, this due to their stature, they came in as 5-star recruits, one being local, one out of Texas. And just when you look at them, forget football. When you look at these guys, like, they physical specimens. Like, you know, you start – and those players are Sonny Styles, the safety – big safety. I mean, he's kind of old school big, almost, to just say. Like, you know, he's not the typical safety that you see now that kind of are smaller due to coverage. He's kind of old school in his size there. A lot of muscle, a lot of speed, a lot of strength. And then also CJ Hicks, who, once again, a lot of muscle, strength, and also has length. As a linebacker, sometimes I feel like length is kind of underrated when you start talking about how long a guy's arms is. But he definitely has that, where he could cover a guy, deflect the pass, also getting that arms in on tackles to get the guys. Having some lift at linebacker, especially longer arms, is could help you out a ton there. But it's a lot of talk around them because a lot of people are saying, like, well, big recruit, are we going to play him? We need to play him. If not, we're going to lose him, type of situation. What are your thoughts on those two guys?
They got to play. The reality is, And they gotta check all the boxes to get on the field. I mean, it's not, there's no, oh, this guy's a 5-star and looks the part, so he's gonna be on the field. Nah, I mean, they gotta actually. But I mean, we've watched them in practice. We've watched them on occasion. They look like they're checking boxes to me. Right? Now, on the mental side, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. Are they in the position that they're supposed to be in, right? But that's part of the coaching element of it, right? You got to get those guys ready to play. And even if they have limited roles, even if they don't play the entire game, even if they're not able to kind of quarterback the defense at maybe a Eichenberg level where he knows where everybody's supposed to be and stuff. Even if they can't do that, do all those things, they got to play, man. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't even our era of college football where if you were the two deep, you didn't get the reps, you couldn't go nowhere, or you had to sit out a year. This year, now you could just leave. And if they leave, they're going to play. They're going to play the whole game, right? So I think Sonny Styles, I think there's room for him as well. Like, you know, based on situational football, you could put a Sonny Styles in at a dime linebacker. You could put him in at the safety and move a linebacker to that bullet position. I mean, move a safety to that bullet position, or move a safety to a nickel. Like, there's versatility there and flexibility where you can move around the defense to put guys in the best position. So yeah. I agree with a lot of fans saying, when are these guys going to get on the field? I think this year they should be able to crack that lineup in a way that gets them on the field, even if it's just in situational football. Because these guys, man, these guys are talented, bro.
They're talented, but let's talk about the concerns, though. I mean, obviously it's – yeah, I think I agree. Yeah, it'd be great to get those guys reps. It'd be great to get those guys, you know, actual game experience. But let's just talk about the challenges. Let's be frank. We're talking about a defense that usually play with, two linebackers, right? And we have a lot of – you're talking about Tommy Eckenberg, who now this will be, think it'll be his third year starting. And then same thing with Steel Chambers, who – this will be his second year as the full starter, and a third year playing a lot of football at linebacker for Ohio State. And there's only two positions, right? It's two guys there. And then on top of that, you have another veteran on the roster, Cody Simon, he's been kind of like in that C.J. Hicks position. They've been just trying to find different spaces where they could just play him. So now you're talking about two spots, three veterans there, and you got a young guy who has some talent, but when it comes down to it, when are you going to, you know, try to pull the trigger and put them out there? And then how is that going to affect the locker room when you start talking about this? I mean, most likely, I don't know if Tommy was a captain this year, but he most likely be a captain on the team. Same thing with Steel Chambers. I mean, it's a good chance. Like, you know, you start talking about maybe a captain on the team losing playing time just so you could get your young guy some real game time reps. So, I mean, those things are, you have to consider it. And then when you start talking about the safety position, I mean, you usually play with two safeties, right? Usually two safeties, situation, the offense try to spread you out. You could add a safety, what we've seen Ohio State do some last year, but usually a defense would add a cornerback. You try to spread it out more. We put better coverage guys out there by adding corners to the defense. You go really heavy, it's a short distance situation, situation, what you do? You add linebackers. So maybe that's the time for you could put C.J. Hicks in. But it's just, you know, it's not, I guess, a ton of times that you are literally adding linebackers to the defense. It's not a ton of times that you're adding a safety to the defense. So I feel like it's definitely going to be some challenges there because we just – due to depth, due to experience, you know, somebody, I don't know how you coach it up, but essentially you gotta figure it out. But essentially it's going to be tough just to say like, okay, you about to lose some time, even though you're doing everything right. You've been doing everything right for a couple of seasons, but we just need to pick this young guy out here so we don't lose him to the transfer portal. And like I said, it's a delicate situation, but that's really the situation that they're in.
It is a delicate situation. And this is why high level college coaches get paid high level money to make those decisions. it's just the reality. Like, you maybe you got two linebackers. You don't want to take Eichenberg off the field. He might be your best defensive player. So you're like, there's no situation where I actually want to take my best defensive player off the field, even if I got a great young talent who could probably be my best defensive player next year. Or maybe now if I give him a chance, but the reality is you got to figure it out. It may be that you play Eichenberg for 3.5 quarters or 4 quarters, 4.5 quarters, and you're up by, I mean, how many games are you going to just be putting teams away? You got a team put away. Maybe he plays the rest of the game. Cause to be honest, these guys got to develop as well. Like, they got to get some experience. And if they're capable, it was a great opportunity to get them experience while you actually are playing good football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's high risk to put them out there, then that's a different story, right? But if they're capable and you're putting the team away, you're playing against, I don't want to name a team because I name them and then they upset us. So yeah, when you're playing against a team and you're up by 3 touchdowns, 4.5 quarters go by.
No, let's call some teams out, man. You're playing against.
Get these guys on the field. Let them play. Let them play. Let them showcase their ability. And then Sonny Styles, he plays safety, but like you mentioned, he's a big safety. It may be an opportunity to take a linebacker off the field and put another defensive back in situational football, right? Put them in packages. You got to – I mean, it's not easy to do.
It's not.
But when you recruit all these five-star players, you recruit all these five-star players, and if they're capable of going out there and making plays, you got to get these guys on the field. We got to get them on the field.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. I mean, like I said, I mean, historically, like we're talking about, I don't know, let's say the NFL. So we're talking about the best of the best. You're not really rotating your interior linebackers. You're not really, you know, rotating your strong safety. Like, you know, your guy. Historically, like I said before, the portal, same thing at top college, our defense. Our safeties were our safeties. Our linebackers were our linebackers. Once again, once the game kind of maybe got the handle of it, put the younger guys in. Full experience, certainly, like, you know, packages that play a role, and what the offense is giving you, you do certain things differently. But like I said, I don't envy the coaches when it comes to some of this stuff. Like, I don't know how you know, and it depends on the guy. I mean, it really depends on the relationship. You know, if you're talking to that guy, if you're, Noah spent a lot of time with the linebackers. If you're talking to CJ Hicks and he seems that he's okay, like, you know, like maybe he's okay with, like, you know, understanding that there's older guys in front of him and it's not that big of a deal. And
that's
he's not
going to
That's
even more reason why you should play him. That's even more reason why you should get on the field. If he's saying, look, that humble. I understand the situation. I understand it's tough. I'm going to do everything I can to play. Play the man. Let him play. Now, if he's a guy who's like, if I don't play, I'm going to transfer, then maybe this, he wasn't cut out to be a part of this team. But yeah, that guy is understanding and is willing to sit and wait his turn. Put him out, reward him. Reward that type of behavior, because that will also get other guys to see the value of being the same way. It's bigger than just playing a guy because he's a five-star. I mean, listen, man, it's a new era. Guys got to play. Guys got to play. Yeah. They got to be capable. They got to be capable.
Gotta be once they get capable,
they're going to make plays. But if they check that box, man, shoot. Put them out there. Well, I'll start my own little college football team.
Getting transfers in. We're just knocking off the big boys. Yeah. You play in the XFL or something like that for the team. They go out there. But yeah, man. But I mean, that was spring, though. I mean, like I said, overall, I feel that once again, I'm really confident in our talent. I think it's going to be another year of good Ohio State football. We're going to be in contention for the playoffs. We're going to be contention for the national championship. Like I said, obviously we do have some things to work on, but I mean, there's no perfect team, right? So I feel like we'll figure those things out. I'm excited for the summer. Over the summer, you just kind of hope that, you know, nothing, I'm going to say, dumb happens, right? You know, guys get a little bit more time. Hopefully, you know, no ESPN alerts on our guys, and everyone make it to fall and, you know, healthy. Everyone, our receivers are back. Our linebackers are back. Our running backs are back. And we just got a bunch of guys that's just ready to go, feeling rejuvenated, fresh, ready to go to play some good Ohio State football and have another big year. So that's my takes on spring ball. You know, really just overall, just go Bucks, man. I mean, I think they're ready to go. But before we end up this show, man, we got to talk about the news. I mean, obviously, the draft is coming up this weekend. So the next handful of days, the draft will start. And once again, our guy is national news buzz, man. Our quarterback, C.J. Stroud, it's like it's a lot of buzz, a lot of noise around him. You want to give a background on what's going on?
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, there's some news being put out there, some negative news. I'm telling you, some crazy stuff. I heard CJ, you know, he's putting a bunch of A1 sauce on his on his Wagyu steak, man.
Nah, man.
I'm like, man, what's going on? Nah, man, it just seems like You know, nothing has happened. Nothing has changed since the pro day. Nothing pro new. Day. There's no new information. The film is the film still that he put out there, and it's great film. It's great. You know, as you look at it, it's not perfect. Nobody has perfect film, but overall, CJ Stroud has put out a good body of work and has shown that he is an accurate passer. His superpower is that he's probably the most accurate passer in this draft, including everybody, right? But then you have, you know, it comes out that the Panthers are likely a lock to take what's his name?
Bryce Young
overall, yeah. One overall. Now everybody's trying to figure out, you know, what is it? Why is CJ just dropping? A lot of people, then you had the Texans come out and say they're likely to pick a defensive player or not take a quarterback and all that stuff. And then you have all these interviews and people talking about different things. There was some leaked test scores.
I got it right here. Yeah, it's called the S2. Yeah, the S2 test. So the S2 test, and it had basically they list the quarterbacks, and basically it's almost so bad it's funny. Right? They basically got like Bryce Young 98%, Jack Hayner, I'm not sure who that is, 96%, but Will Levis, who's looking at maybe a first round grade, at 93%, Anthony Richardson up to 79%, and then Hendon Hooker, who remember the big performance he had. Now his score was a little bit lower at 46%, but then they say CJ Stroud score is laughable for 18%. Like, I don't even know what this test is, but 18% when other guys are getting 98. Obviously, like you say, it's bad press, at least.
I think it's like their percentile. Like, you're in the 18th percentile versus you're in the 98th percentile or whatever. Then you had the interview with Brady Quinn. Quinn is, I don't know what show he was on, but they were just trying to get some insight from him as to why do you think it seems like CJ Stroud's stock is starting to drop a little bit. He matter-of-factly just like, oh, I heard about this story about how he, you know, back when he was 2 years old. Now, back at some point, he committed to this Manning camp and didn't show up at the Manning camp. And he just started talking about how great CJ was as a player and all that stuff. And I'm just thinking, like, bro, what is we talking about now? Like, just, and to me.
Well, no, let's read the tweet, man. Let's read the tweet. So Quinn drops what he says on his show. Yeah. And then Chim puts out a tweet that was really heard around Buckeye Nation. Say, I hear CJ Stroud put steak sauce on his high-end steaks, according to sources, quotation marks. This is leading teams to be very hesitant to draft him, questioning his decision-making, man. So, yeah, that thing, it was a good one, man. It blew up, man. Crazy. People text me.
His tweet went crazy.
But it was funny, but it's relevant, though. It's relevant, yeah, right?
It's this media culture, man. It's like, we just hear some stuff and then just drop it in an interview and don't even explain the whole context around it. It's just like, oh, yeah, he was committed to the Manning camp and didn't go to the Manning camp, and you can't treat the Mannings like that. What does this have to do with the question that was asked? And the way it was used, and, you know, Brady Quinn went back and said, I said a bunch of great stuff about CJ. But it's not about negative versus positive stuff. It's about just throwing in gossip as a reason to consider, you know.
Yeah, that this just is got a my character flaw. This is the reason. Like, he showed it. He slightly showed it to you here. You weren't paying attention, type of thing.
Right. And it's leading up into the draft. It's not post draft. It's not why did he drop in the draft? Why did he end up going 15? It's like, this is leading up. And the reality is, and this is the thing, you know, most teams aren't considering that as a thing. I would hope, right?
I would hope, right.
But the people who are making decisions are human beings. And marketing is a thing, right? Marketing affects how we frame, how we think about things, how we look at stuff. It just happens. Well, even if you don't do it consciously, subconsciously. So all like the little negative notes here and there about CJ, which mean absolutely nothing if you actually think about it. It impacts the way they have a draft board and they're splitting hairs right now. They're saying, okay, CJ versus Bryce Young. All right, CJ Stroud doesn't like to tie his shoes. That's negative. Because it comes to a point where you just have to make a choice. And it has to be a feeling when you get to two guys who are so elite and you can't really project forward how much they're going to continue to improve. It's hard to project. Yeah. That's why we always talk about this guy got a higher ceiling and this guy is like, man, we don't really know.
He's
saying maybe he has a higher ceiling because he hasn't really developed yet.
Right, right. Sometimes you say a guy got a higher ceiling because he made a play with bad technique. Oh, we had better technique. You know? So he's raw. He's raw. He got his raw talent.
I hate it, man. But a lot of people were on Brady Quinn's head, though, man.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of stood up. I think Ryan Clark was one of the bigger ones. Kind of went into that. The actual truth is that CJ Stroud never committed to going to the Manning cap. And essentially at the same time, when the cap was going on, I think they said he elected to be with like some Ohio State wide receivers. Yeah. They was throwing somewhere working together. So it was like, you drop this. That's the headline. Maybe this is the character flaw that we've been looking for on CJ. And no kind of find out it's no contest. It's not true. Yeah. Then, like I said, once again, now that test score, I don't know what's up with that test. Can't speak on the test. Never took the test. Don't know what the test is. Feel like it's a newer thing. I don't know. Lower score. I mean, obviously, the guy can read a defense.
How did he do on his biggest test? So I would say his biggest test was that Georgia game. So what did he score in that test?
He scored fairly high.
definitely wasn't 18%. I can tell you that
for sure.
We'll see. We've made our predictions before, but based on new information, I guess, even though nothing has changed, really. Where do you think CJ ends up?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they basically put it as a lock. Like, the Panthers are taking Bryce Young, whatever that decision was. I mean, a handful of weeks ago, we thought it was a lock that CJ was going number one overall, right? But now that we're really close to it, we still don't know, right? I know in previous drafts, you have seen like something happen and like, oh yeah, they're definitely taking this guy. Like, he just moved his stuff to the city or something like that. But nothing's been determined. But if the Panthers do decide to take Bryce, I'll be honest. I think Houston making statements that they don't want a quarterback, I feel like they're just really trying to entice a trade to see if someone would just kind of overreact to jump up for CJ. But I think if he's available, they need a quarterback.
They need one, but I do think,
they got a defensive coach in.
You got a defensive coach, right, who's going to believe, I need to build his defense. I need to bring my – I could use whatever quarterback to manage the game. He's going to just have a defensive philosophy, one. Two, CJ, and this may not be anything at all, but CJ got the same agent, I believe, as Deshaun Watson. I think on both sides there's – not that they wouldn't do business, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to stop business from happening and another player from being a part of that team at all. But I do think there is some feeling like, do we really want to do this? Or let's consider other options as opposed to it just being, all right, he's there. I think on both sides, though. I don't think it's just the Texan side. I think even on the Stroud side, he may look at the Texans and be like, I'll take the money, obviously number two overall money, but I may prefer who's at three or four, right? And then I do think you're right. I think the Texans would, in a position where they're like, I'll trade this pick for the right, for the right
price. Yeah, for the right thing. Well, I'm looking at the Texans roster right now, and you telling me, I don't know, defensive game, whatever. But they got currently Davis Mills, who's I believe his third-year quarterback. Yeah. Showed some promise as the rookie, but took like a huge step backwards his second year. You have Case Keenum, who we know is really a backup guy. Right? He got there with a little spunk. He may win a couple games for you, but overall you're not really – considering him like your guy, he usually backing up your guy so he could jump in and have a spark. Because then you got this guy, EJ Perry. So, I mean,
they need a quarterback, man.
Like, free agency is open. Like, you sign Case, you don't have anyone there. I mean, this is a quarterback driven league. So I mean, when it comes down to it,
the Texans are known for picking a defensive end over picking a franchise quarterback.
They are,
this is what they're known for. So look, it hasn't worked in the past.
It hasn't worked in the past.
People who are if they show you who they are, believe it.
Believe it. So I don't know, man. I feel like he wouldn't fall too far to me. To me, he's the best quarterback. So I know a lot of times when you get to the draft, I mean, sometimes certain teams just really just have a guy that they want. So yeah. I feel like, especially with like a Will Levis, that he's somebody guy. Like, you know, somebody like he's our guy. If no one takes him, we're taking him no matter what. I don't care who's available. Even if Bryce was available. Right.
He said he was going to Manny Camp. He showed up.
His parents are Ivy League scholars or something of the sort. He's known for being smart.
Think CJ drops past the Colts at 4. So whatever happens before that, I don't know. He gets to 4. I don't think he gets past the Colts at 4. It would be too hard for me to believe that he gets to number 4 and the Colts see him there and say, we're going to another. It'd be too hard for me to believe, given the challenges they've had at the quarterback position the last couple years. And the success they've had in the past with Peyton Manning, with Andrew Luck, they know they need that type of guy.
And the recent success that they have with Ohio State Buckeyes, to be frank, I mean, they've been getting a good amount of Buckeyes when available, and those guys have been, you know, really panning out for them. So, I mean, obviously, Columbus to Indianapolis is, 2.5-2 hour drive, so it's fairly close. I mean, so I'm sure they're able to really get a good feel for CJ. So once again, if he's available, I think they'd take him. But I mean, the draft is so random. Who knows? You get there day one, Houston trade they pick to somebody, and then everything just kind of, and they take a quarterback says somebody else wanted, and now everything just kind of gets scrambled from there. But it'll be exciting. Obviously, I believe he'll go first round. I don't think nothing that crazy would happen. He fall out the first round, nothing nuts like that. He'll go where he go, and then that would be the story, and we'll support him there. And I think he'll do great. I think he'll do fantastic. So that's our show today, man. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chindi Chekwa. Once again, want to shout out our sponsor, Bet Online, season for all your gambling needs. And we will catch you guys next time. Man, spring ball is over, so we gotta come up with something, man. Maybe bring in a guest or something, man. Shake it up a little bit.
Bring some guests in, man. Bring some guests in. But so Bet Online is our sponsor. We should bring in Jameson Williams. He just got suspended for
right. Hey, we gotta claim him like we claim Joe Burrow, right?
Right.
Don't try to claim Joe and don't claim Jameson, man. He got a little trouble, man.
Shout out to Jameson Williams, man. I still excited to follow his career, man. But bet no more, man.
No more betting, man.
Get on Bet Online, man. You the only one delete that can't the app. Get on Bet Online.
Yeah, delete the app, man. All right, man. Next time.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.